This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and this morning I am with Leticia Phillips with Unica. How are you?
I'm fine, Joanna. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for joining us. There's so much talk going on right now about the renewable fuel standard, and not maybe so much about the low carbon fuel standard is sort of taken second step to RFS, but Leticia, I want to start off and talk about sugarcane's role. Obviously, Brazil is the largest sugarcane ethanol producer in the world. What is sugarcane's role in the renewable fuel standard?
Well, as you know, Joanna, but for your audience, Brazilian sugarcane ethanol is classified as the other advanced fuel within the RFS. So by 2022, that category of fuel is supposed to contribute with 4 billion gallons of fuel for the RFS. Right now, today, sugarcane ethanol is the best performing fuel commercially available. So when EPA did their life cycle analysis of all the fuels that are part of the RFS, they have classified Brazilian sugarcane ethanol as an advanced fuel because it lowers emissions of GHG emissions when compared to gasoline by at least 61%. So Brazilian sugarcane represents 3% of all the fuels within the RFS, but it's actually one quarter of the advanced pool of the fuels for the RFS. So it's a pretty important role. It's a secure flow of biofuels. Brazil has been working with EPA since the beginning of the program and sending the fuel here so American consumers can have the benefit of having this in the program.
Now, there's been some pushback on Brazilian ethanol as being part of the renewable fuel standard. And some people argue that it's because the whole goal of the renewable fuel standard is it's supposed to be domestic, you know, domestic production. I think that's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. There's also been pushback saying, well, it doesn't really have the greenhouse gas reductions they're saying. But from your perspective, why should this not be the case? Why, rather than attacking its role, why should they more be embracing Brazilian cellulosic ethanol as part of the renewable fuel standard and part of America's energy portfolio?
Well, I think that the main thing here is that, as far as I am concerned, you know, the rule in itself, the program doesn't specify that a fuel has to be made in America. I think that the overall goal here is really to lower carbon emissions into the atmosphere. And the goal should also be to help America become energy secure. Mm-hmm. So energy diverse, energy security and energy independence. I think that has much more to do with the where can you get better fuels, better performing fuels to play into this program here. So obviously you're going to have pushback from the domestic industry, but I have to tell you, especially for the convention industry, they were grandfathered in into the program. There is a big pull for them within the RFS. But at the same time, you have to understand that we have a blend wall problem in the U.S. So you have the Brazilian sugarcane ethanol that comes in is blending with the gasoline is the same way that the corn ethanol that is produced in the United States is being blended, and the consumption of gasoline in the U.S. has decreased. So you have this blend wall problem because also the U.S. is not being able to blend higher blends to go to E15 as they have, you know, the ability or the authorization from EPA to go to E15 for cars that are 2001 and newer. So I understand why the pushback happens, but I think that consumers should really think about, you know, the U.S. needs to be energy secure and energy security means diversifying your sources, especially for the RFS. You know, there is so much pressure for the program just to go away. And as I said again, you know, Brazilian sugarcane ethanol is only 3% of the overall volume of the program, but 22% of the advanced fuels. So the best performing fuels, we bring in 23%. Brazil has always been a reliable partner of the U.S., and in the case of sugarcane ethanol, we have always been a reliable partner for EPA. So that's pretty much it.
Well, you know, you mentioned a very important aspect, and that's the blend wall. And although the EPA has passed, E15 mm-hmm. is a fuel, to your point, for vehicles manufactured in 2001 or newer. With the way that the RFS is set up, isn't that the first hurdle of the blend wall? When we get to the 36 million gallons by 2022, I think it is, wouldn't mm-hmm. we, in essence, need to still be blending even higher blends of biofuels?
Well, the way I understand, Joanna, and you know, the way I understand this blend, in order for you to blend just like the conventional corn ethanol, by E10, we're going to reach this, you know, very soon, or by next year. So I think the higher blend, you know, needed to be done sooner than that, much sooner than 2022. So this is something that, you know, needs to be addressed now. It is an obstacle for the program, you know, because I guess that when the RFS was put together, nobody really foresaw a scenario where the gasoline consumption would go down. Right. So this is an issue that needs to be addressed, you know, as soon as possible now. And if you look at what EPA has done in the recent announcement for the volumes for 2013, on the final rule, EPA has said that they're going to have to do some adjustments for 2014 because of this issue. So, you know, it's something that needs to be dealt with as soon as possible.
Right. And I do, since I have you with me for right now, I do want to address some other things. You know, I actually had the fortune of spending time with you in Brazil a few years ago, yeah. and looking at the industry, and I've seen mm-hmm. a very innovative industry and a very environmentally sustainable and conscious industry. But a lot of people think that isn't the case. But Leticia, I mean, that's set some records straight here. You actually, people think that biofuels in Brazil are eliminating rainforest, but the last several years, if I'm correct, you actually have, this is not true. I mean, it's flat out not true. So can you address that?
Sure. You are correct. You know, when I first start working for UNICA here in Washington, I have to tell you, this was probably, and still is in a way, the number one myth about sugarcane ethanol production in Brazil. And I think that one thing that, there are a few things that consumers need to understand. First of all, sugarcane ethanol is a crop that needs a dry season in order for the sugar to attach to the plant. So in the Amazon rainforest, as the name says, it's very wet. It rains a lot. So even if you planted the plant there, the crop there, it would grow, but it wouldn't have the sugars that you need in order for the plant to have value. Another thing that's very important for people to know is that in Brazil, you have something that is called the agroecological zoning. This is something that the industry really pushed for with the Brazilian government, and it's, you know, Brazil excluded all expansion and new plantings of cane. You cannot plant sugar cane in the sensitive biomes of Brazil, which includes the Amazon and the Pantanal wetlands on the west side of Brazil. And at the same time that they were doing this, Embrapa, the agricultural research arm of the Brazilian government, did a study to see where cane sugar can expand and where it can be planted, and identified 65 million hectares of space where you can plant sugarcane. Today, we use only 1% of Brazil's total land to plant sugarcane for ethanol and for sugar. So it breaks down half and half. So it's 0.5% for the production of ethanol and 0.5% for the production of sugar. So this is a myth that people really think the forest is being cut to plant sugarcane, and it is not. And another reason is also because sugarcane, once it's cut, it needs to be processed optimally within 24 hours, and that needs to be close to the mills. And you don't have, the mills are close to where people live because they will use the fuel over there. So there are myths people need to understand. We have a wonderful website that is called sugarcane.org that gives, all this information to folks. And, we're also here in Washington ready to answer any questions and help people understand how we do things in Brazil.
Well, great. Well, I'm so glad we retouched, we got together today. And Leticia, let's keep in touch.
Yes,
this process
for sure
continues, let's definitely touch base every couple weeks and give us an update on how things are going.
Yes, for sure. It'll be my pleasure. There's a lot going on. Congress is in recess now, so I expect that as soon as they're back on September 10th, I guess, the discussion will heat up again. And, there will be lots to talk about, and it will be my pleasure to be in touch with you and with your audience to talk about the RFS and Brazilian sugarcane ethanol.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.